And so, as Roger said earlier, today is Epiphany Sunday. Now, if you're like me, I didn't grow up Catholic, even though I went 5 years to Catholic school. I had no clue when Roger called me and said, "What are you thinking about?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm allowing it to emerge. God and I are in prayer. And I don't want to do the usual faith thing. I've already put that out to God." Because in unity, usually, the first power is faith. You put the cornerstone of faith. And so you put the cornerstone in faith in this year. I'm like, "Oh, I don't really want to do that. I've done that for so many years. I want to do something different." So I'm looking and reaching and waiting for that message. And Roger texts me and says, "What are you thinking about doing?" And I told him that. And he's like, "Well, how about Epiphany Sunday?" And I'm like, "Epiphany what? What is that all about?" Well, Epiphany Sunday, first of all, it continues to elongate Christmas, which is what he likes, he said. Mostly, it is that time where Christ is viewed and seen and its manifestation here in the world. And so the reason why it's still an extension of Christmas is because it celebrates when the three wise men came about. Celebrates the Magi, and that was kind of the component with the gifts and the recognition in this world for those three men, those three wise men, to say, "Wow, the North Star has shone, and it's brought us to you, the baby, the Christ that is here." And so that's why they celebrated, but in Catholic churches, they celebrate Epiphany Sunday as the Sunday recognizing when Jesus was baptized. And so, since that kind of fits in a lot easier with unity, and it does kind of help us move towards Lent, which I know Lent feels like it's a long ways away because the first service, Roger yelped, "Woo! I don't want to think about that right now. Stop." I know it's only the second week, but it does lead us into the manifestation. So what does the Epiphany Sunday, what is the epiphany about Epiphany Sunday? Well, thank you, Roger, for that epiphany about Epiphany Sunday. I was like, "Woohoo, and how funny are you, God, that I'm looking for an epiphany," and there it is. And so the word epiphany is a Greek word, and its meaning is manifestation or appearance, and it's derived from a verb meaning appear. And so we draw from that which appears to us, which is manifesting to us, which is why we're titled, "Let God's Love Manifest in the World." Of course, we need that manifestation each and every moment of each and every day, and it seems like each year we need that more and more. And so Epiphany Sunday, as a baptism, the story goes like this, and it's in both Mark and Matthew. In Matthew 3, we read the story of John the Baptist. He was in the River Jordan baptizing people with water. And Jesus already has this aura about him, this flow, this swag. And he comes up to John the Baptist, and he wants John the Baptist to baptize. Well, first of all, he's not John the Baptizer at that time. I think he got it afterwards, but he's baptizing people. So Jesus comes up to him, and he says, "John, I want you to baptize me." And John goes, "Who, me? It should be you who are baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, it is up to you so that we can make the scriptures complete. It is said that there's someone who precedes the Savior, and that, my beloved, is you. And so I ask you to baptize me." This is Jesus speaking. And so when Jesus had been baptized, can anyone remember what happened after he emerged from the water, the living water? The Holy Spirit, and there's some other aspects of the Holy Spirit. There's a bird, the dove, and then there's a voice. This is my son who I... So let me put that all together. So when Jesus has been baptized, the heavens were opened, it says. The heavens were opened. The Spirit of God descends upon him, being Jesus, like a dove. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the Holy Spirit, is interesting to note, descends on God in this moment. I think most of us would think that the Spirit or the Holy Spirit would descend on God because of the acts that God did, because of all the miracles and all that. But this was before his own ministry started. Actually, this was the prelude to his ministry started. In other words, Jesus was baptized not for the acts that he did, but for who he was. And for his recognition of knowing that he needed to be moved out of this mortal being and transition over to a spiritual place, as the scriptures, as the Old Testament deemed so. It's kind of interesting that I think before I went into biblical studies, I'd forgotten. I was thinking John the Baptist was this old guy, and this young, hip Jesus came to him and said, "Baptize me." But according to scriptures, John the Baptist was only born, and I forgot to double check, 3 to 6 months prior to Jesus. They were the same age. Actually, they were family. They were cousins. And so John the Baptist was known to Jesus. They were known to one another. They grew up with each other. Their mothers were best friends, cousins. You know, what are those called? Friend cousins or cousin friends? And so that even makes it deeper that the one who was born before him, the one who goes before him, would be John. We also know in our readings that John is the beloved. John is that part of the intellect that wants to be magnified. John the Baptist, specifically, metaphysically speaking, in the Fomorian, I get the word, I couldn't get the Fomorian out for the life of me at the 9 o'clock. With the Fomorian metaphysical meaning is that John the Baptist is the illumined intellect, the highest development of human consciousness. We may think of him, John the Baptist, as standing for personality, whereas Jesus typifies the divine self or individuality. John, recognizing the superiority of Jesus, said, "He must increase before I decrease." And so picture this in a metaphysical term. You have this Jesus coming up. And I think in pictures, if you looked at movies like I did, you see the clouds disappearing, the sun is shining, there's a beam of light on Jesus for the, denoting the heavens, and this dove kind of flies out, and this voice comes. Metaphysically, that is for all of us. That isn't a thing that we have to have done. The dove represents peace of mind, a state that is open and receptive to God and God's will of good so that peace can come down on them. In the book of John, the baptism then represents this aspect of your personality, the individual I, moving over to the I am. I being the individualized expression, that personality, the humanness of us all. Setting aside ourselves so that the I am within us, that divine idea, that Christ, that I am, that Moses asked the burning bush, "Who do I say has sent me to free the captives? I am that I am," the only name then in the whole all of Bible where it shows where God names itself, "I am that I am." So it's taking place and allowing the I am to expand so that you have what? So that you have peace. Continual peace. Not the ebb and flow of peace and being in hell and heaven. For hell and heaven, we say in unity, are not down below and up above. They're states of consciousness, states of your mind that are lived out here on this earth. How many of us, even right now, are living in a hell of our own making that has started here in our minds? And we don't need to look outside ourselves for heaven. Heaven also is a state of consciousness that is within us. If only we allow ourselves to move over and to be that who we truly are, the I am, the Christ, the divine idea, the hope and glory. Jesus was baptized by water. My beloveds, and I would be happy if you haven't been baptized to baptize you by water as an adult or baptize your child. But I'm here to tell you, you don't need that physical baptism. I love what Myrtle Fillmore wrote. The real baptism is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No person or group of persons can give the spiritual baptism. Again, I'd be happy to do that if you want, but no person or group of persons can give the spiritual baptism. It is a matter between the individual soul and the divine source of light and life and power and love. When the individual is baptized by the Holy Spirit, that individual knows it, and power from on high is felt and expressed and seen by all others. Beloveds, that is what we are here to do and be and to express. Not just this physical form of sense consciousness, of the seeing, smelling, hearing, tasting, feeling. We're here to be more, to use all those as tools, but not to be ruled by them, but to use them as tools so that we can continue to create heaven here on earth, to make God's will of good manifest on earth and in your life. That is what unity is all about. Those are the tools that we make, and that's what we bring, and that's why we bring it, so that you're no longer dealing with your own will. You're opening yourself up to God's will of good, so that the manifestation of the Spirit of God awakens purely within you. So how do we do this? And you're supposed to get in the shower and go, I baptize myself, or dunk yourself in a tub. Woo, yeah. I'm feeling the Spirit now, yes. You can do that if you want, but you don't have to. You don't have to do anything outside of yourself. It's all an internal doing. It is a shifting of your consciousness and knowing the truth of yourself and accepting it. It's a knowing of who you are, shifting your consciousness and living it. And the same tools that I've said before and that you'll hear me say over and over again here in Unity, they're simple, and yet we just need to keep doing it so that we can do that. So the ways that we can purify ourselves, well, I'll use scripture, and I'll use John the Baptist's word, because his baptism was in water, but one of the things that he did, he always said, okay, hold on, repent, repent, repent. I know, it's kind of like, oh, I'm seeing some faces like, oh, God, am I in Catholic church, Christian church? What are you talking about, repent? You know, whether it's in the Orthodox Catholicism, whether it's in traditional Christianity, repent is actually not a bad thing. The meaning of repent literally is to change your way, to change your consciousness, to change your mind. Now, is that bad? No. Change your mind, change your way. Making a decision to go a different way than where you're going, especially if where you're going isn't feeling right. Why wouldn't you repent from going in a way that continues to place you in your hell of your own making when all we really want is heaven in a consistent manner? No matter what is going outside of us, to have a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding. To live in a state of love and happiness and harmony within yourself, which will then manifest in the world, is what we're looking for. So yes, repent. Repent. Now, see, it doesn't feel as bad anymore, does it? Repent. Change your way. Okay, now hold on. That's what the gulp. The way, another way to change your consciousness is to continue your forgiveness work. Yada, yada, yada. I've heard it before. Yeah, I heard it before Christmas. I'm going to hear it for Lent. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. You know, Reverend Crystal, I need to talk to you because, you know, you just don't know. I've forgiven a lot, but there's certain things that I cannot forgive because you just don't know what these people did to me. I can't forgive that. I'm not going to forgive that. So there. Like Lily Tomlin. And that's the truth. Yeah, I'm showing my age now, aren't I? I look so young. How does she know about Lily Tomlin? Forgiveness work, my beloveds, is a selfish act. I know selfish has negative connotations. Selfish can be great. Selfish is good. So how is the act of forgiveness a selfish act? Because truly, forgiveness work is not about the person who you think has done you wrong or the situation that you think has done you wrong. Forgiveness work is freeing yourself. For you are no longer playing the victim in this situation. You are no longer digesting and keeping within your body the poisons that you've accepted or that have been forced within you. Let me say that again. Forgiveness works takes out the poisons that are within you of the feeling of victimization. Yeah, but Crystal, you just don't know the circumstances. Beloveds, it doesn't matter whether I know the circumstances. It doesn't matter the severity of it. In actuality, let me give you a hard truth. Whomever has done something to you that you're holding on to has forgotten about it probably. They have no clue that you're harboring these issues of something that they did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 days ago. More than likely, they have moved on to their life. And what do we do when we don't? When we're just mad at them? Say it's someone at work. We'll go into work and we'll look at them. It's like, how dare them be joking around with someone? How dare they be happy after what they have done to me or to my work? They haven't said thank you. They haven't said I apologize. They haven't recognized what they've done to me. And how dare they be happy? Because I'm not. You know how I'm feeling, right? You know the feeling, whether it's any relationship. How dare, and God forbid it's a romantic relationship. Oh, Lord. But see, the person is going by, and it's us who has that poison, that fire in our gut that's growing and swelling up and metastasizing within us. It is us who chooses to keep this within us. So forgiveness is selfish because it's you being able to release, let it go, free yourself. It has nothing to do with them, whoever it was, and for whatever the situation is, how severe. And I know that some people have had some truly, truly, truly severe situations from childhood, from all walks of life. And some of you are going through it now, whether it's some form of an abuse or something like that. I hear that. I feel that. So I'm not saying forgiveness as a, oh, you forgive and everything will be all right. I am talking about work within yourself so that you can free yourself from them continually trying to victimize you even when they're not next to you. That is a freedom that only you can take. No one else can give it to you. And so it's a change of course. It's repenting, clearing your mind and your consciousness of anything that is holding you back. Why? So that you can accept the truth of who you are. So that you have a clear consciousness of understanding. Principle number one, God is great. I know it's been shoved down us, the Old Testament, been shoved down us of the authoritative God, the God up there. But the first principle here is God is good. God is love. God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful, not a power that wants to spank you when you're bad, to bring locusts upon you, to bring drought upon you. My beloveds, those are just laws of cause and effect. Not of a God up there or a devil down there doing something to you. If I jump from the stage, which direction am I going? Down onto the floor. That's gravity. That's a law. If I hit this pew really hard with my hand, more than likely, unless I have some nerve damage, is this going to hurt? That's a law. Anything that is moving slower than I am and has a mass denser than me is going to be heavy and painful if it's depending on the speed and the severity of which it connects with me. That is the law. And in that, as a symbol, no matter what we do in our own will that goes against the will of good of God, we'll have that cosmic, it's interesting we call it the cosmic 2x4. It isn't a cosmic 2x4, it's a reality of life that if Spirit is saying go this way and we see a shiny little thing like a fairy, like we are fairies and we want to go, we want that. That's nice, God, but I want this. And we go against the current to get that, it's going to be a struggle. When you swim against the current, what happens? You become tired faster.
You get exhausted.
It's harder. It's think of yourself swimming against the current. And it's just, oh my God, everything is a fight. Obviously, you know, at first it's kind of like, ha, ha, ha. Then it's like, oh my God, this is exhausting and I'm not getting anywhere. And I want to go there, but God, I feel like I keep getting dragged back. But then we go, why God, can I have that? Well, ask. Probably because it isn't for us, at least not the way we're trying to get to it. But yet we want to continue to move forward. We want to go into this battle. We want to go into this fight. And we wonder how come God isn't giving us something. We have to trust then. Have faith that God is good and that God is going to provide us with anything and everything that we need for our happiness, for heaven to be living here on earth. And because that our will of good is not manifesting doesn't mean that God's will of good is not. That whatever the shiny little object is here might not be for us, might be for someone else. But don't you know that what is there for you, what greatness is there for you, is where it's supposed to be. Let go. Stop struggling. Go with the flow. How many of you have gone tubing or just on a raft and allowed the currents just to let you float? Isn't that peaceful? It's joy-filled. Now, of course, if you're on like screaming rapids or something... Hope you're on a boat and you're enjoying, hoping you're on a raft and you're on, you know, and you're enjoying yourself a paddle, and that's a lot of fun too. But at some point in time, that those rapids take you to a quiet calm, a peace, and a beauty. Usually it's amazing those currents when they stop, how beautiful the place is that it stops you at. Now I don't know if it's just my imagination or what, but everything seems greener. Maybe because I feel like I lived through, you know, an experience of near-death experience. Ah! But the trees are greener. Everything is peaceful. That's heaven, experiencing that. And that's allowing God's will of good to move forward so that you do have something that you want, so that you can clear your consciousness. So you can deny all the challenges that are going through you, so that you do open yourself up, so that you know that you don't need to be a victim. No matter how hard someone tries to victimize you, you are triumphant. The epiphany, my beloveds, is that you are the I am. You are the Christ. And I know that you've heard that from me. You heard it from Jim. And if you've been here long enough, you've heard it from Arthur Wells. Anyone from Unity or a ministry like Unity is going to tell you the same thing. But the word and me saying it and you accepting it are different things. The epiphany, the aha moment when you get, wow, I create because I have been created, and as the creator and as the fact that God is everywhere within me, the divine idea, I am the divine idea, and I am the Holy Spirit, that which is to be made manifest here on earth. Once you get it in your head, that aha, that wow. And it isn't just you. It isn't just me. It's all of us have that power. It's interesting, in Buddhism, you're 100%, so you can either think of it as no one's special or we're all special. I like to think we're all special because we are. It's special that every part of us has God within us. It's special in that from God, divine ideas are made manifest and given to us, our own personal ideas to make our world heaven here on earth. And if we're open to that epiphany, open to the baptism that is always waiting for us to realize through affirmations and denials, then we too can manifest a world in God's love and God's will of good that is heaven here on earth. So as you move forward in this day, allow yourself to be baptized through the Spirit. Allow yourself to open up your heart, your mind, your soul, to be erased of anything that is negative, of the will, of the ego, of the will of that which is not you, and allow the will of God to blossom within you, to have its way with you, to be baptized in that. It's interesting. John the Baptist baptized in water. Jesus baptized in the fire of the Holy Spirit. Allow yourself to be lovingly, passionately burned by the Holy Spirit. And know that your hands, your eyes, your words, you are the instrument that manifests good here on earth. I thank you for saying yes. I look forward to creating God's will and God's world of heaven here on earth with you. God bless you. Thank you. And so let us, you guys can go ahead and start setting up. So let us say this affirmation together. I am aware of God as living, loving, guiding presence, and know my true identity as a child of God. Let's say that two more times. Let's breathe that in. I am aware of God as a living, loving, guiding presence, and know my true identity as a child of God. Now hold on. Don't rush through it. Just feel that for a moment. Breathe into it. This last time, take it slower. And let it really penetrate you. I am aware of God as a living, loving, guiding presence, and know my true identity as a child of God. And it is so. Amen.